This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Good Thursday morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome in to Good Morning NoCo. I am Tanner Schwint.
Hi, Tanner.
Brian Carey over there, my co-host, Angel Padilla, doing the production work. As always, here on a Thursday, we've got a fun show lined up for you guys today. Lots of great guests throughout the course of the morning. But, of course, Brian, the top story coming from yesterday, breaking just minutes after we got off the air yesterday morning.
Yeah, another shooting.
Another shooting.
Another school shooting here in Colorado, which seems to be a... Well, geez, it seems like these happen several times a year. I don't think a week goes by where we don't hear of some type of shooting. But again, yesterday, tragedy down in the Denver area. Was it Denver?
Denver East High School. Denver East High School. The suspect accused of shooting and wounding two staff members. Those two staff members, at last check, are in critical condition, but they still are alive at the hospital. So the two staff members that were shot by this 17-year-old. They did find him dead in Park County, the shooter.
They did find him because he was still on the loose for quite a while afterwards yesterday. And I guess I didn't hear the outcome. Do you know when that was? Was it late last night?
About 10:15 they released last night that they had found him. They had found him dead. The shooter was found dead Wednesday afternoon. Law enforcement found a red Volvo associated with the 17-year-old on County Road 68, also known as Wellington Lake Road, outside of Bailey. The Park County Sheriff's Office said Denver police said that just before 6 p.m. that efforts to locate the suspect were ongoing. At 8:15, Park County Sheriff Tom McGraw said that a person's body was found in the woods about 0.2 miles from the car. McGraw said the person's body has not been identified, and then later on, a law enforcement source told 9 News the body was that of Austin Lyle, the 17-year-old shooter in this incident.
Did they feel it was self-inflicted?
That he died of an apparent suicide.
Okay.
So it was apparent suicide from that. These things, I never have become numb to them. Even when, you know, right now there's no casualties or anything like that. But watching a reporter for Fox News yesterday, a Colorado reporter for Fox News, who was on live on air, she's on TV, she's doing a report, and she grabs her son. She goes, I'm so, like, you can hear, I don't know how she kept it together as well as she did, but she goes, I need to talk to my son real quick. I haven't seen him. And he's walking by. And she goes, I'm sorry, but you would have hugged your son too. Right? And it's just that raw emotion of what is taking place there, and the horror and I just can't imagine. And this is becoming a uniquely Colorado thing, you know, in terms of how often and things like that. The number of school shootings that happen in Colorado is substantially higher than a lot of other states. And it seems like you just said, Brian, every other week we turn around and we see another one of these things.
No, it seems that way. And this one, there's going to be some questions and a lot of dialogue about this one, because this was somebody that they had patted down. Mm-hmm. This is somebody that there were already red flags up about, because obviously this one needed to be checked out when he'd come to school. Apparently there was a past incident of something that could cause concern. I'm kind of to the point where if there is, you know, somebody who may be of concern, or you've got to set them aside to make sure that you check if they have a weapon, probably shouldn't be in the school.
Yeah.
You know, it's that much of a concern, but
where do they go? I mean, without committing an actual crime, but if they're in that much of concern, where do you put them? Do you just push them down the road to another school?
If you can't be trusted in a situation where there's the public, then you're not allowed in it.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
that's I
agree with
an
you.
Education
I agree with
is a right, but it's not a guarantee if you can't fall within what needs to be done. I'm just saying there were some red flags on this one. When I heard that, I was just, well, why is he even allowed to go to the public school. But I'm sure there's a lot more, and I'm sure there's a lot of things I don't know. Just from the preliminary thing, this one was just, it felt a little different because of that red flag. And I hadn't heard that in any past instances, but this was already somebody, from what I understand, they had an eye on.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, Brian. I did just seeing an update here on, so Gerald Mason and Eric Sinclair were listed as deans at the school. They're both listed as deans at East High School, and Denver Health confirmed both are current patients. Denver Health said just before 5:30 p.m. yesterday that Mason is in good condition and has been discharged from the hospital. So Eric Sinclair, one of the victims, has been discharged from the hospital. However, Eric Sinclair remains in serious condition. Eric Sinclair remains in a critical condition, but Gerald Mason has been discharged from the hospital. So one of them has been out. Been released and is in good health at this point. This is opening up a lot of questions again after the Denver Public Schools School Board voted to not have a DPS, a Denver policeman in schools. This has opened up a whole can of worms with that, as the board president has come out and said we're putting a police officer in these schools now. Defying what the boards voted on. He said, we are putting Denver police officers back in the school.
I would love every school to have somebody there, and I'd love every school to have a metal detector when you walk in. I would love for us to invest tons of money in our schools to make them safer. I just think our kids are our number one priority. This is going all over. Would it prevent things if we had metal detectors in all of them? If everybody went through, you know, had to be checked, it would increase times, it would do all that. Yeah, it'd be a pain, but would it be safer?
You catch one, it's worth it. You catch one.
That's just where I'm at. I think drastic measures need to go,
yeah.
And we need to invest in the safety of our schools.
So it was DPS Superintendent Dr. Alex Marrero says he'll have an armed Denver police officer at every high school, which he acknowledges likely violates a school board order to remove DPD from campuses. He said, I am willing to accept the consequences of my actions, the superintendent said. Later on in the evening, the Denver School Board issued a statement supporting the Superintendent Marrero's decision to bring DPD officers back to some DPS campuses. I am in full support of this move. I am absolutely in full support of putting an officer in these schools to try and handle these situations. How do you stop a bad guy with a gun? It's a good guy with a gun, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it needs to be. And we need to continue this rhetoric that got really bad, Brian, in 2020 after the George Floyd thing about how cops are the enemies. This rhetoric is starting to swing back. I think that's starting to, people are realizing that we need our police officers. We need our police officers now more than ever with more and more crazy out there in the world. Our police officers are needed now, and they are needed to protect the lives of our children.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, do we need to keep looking out for bad people in every line of work? Absolutely.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Will there still be some bad ones? Yes. And
both can be
pointed
true.
Out? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Both can be true. But no, we need them. And I think we need the presence there. And I know everyone, oh, geez, going to take it all political now and all that. No, look,
it's
there was another
political.
Shooting and it's getting very old. And I really want safer schools. And if that means putting a police officer in there and putting metal detectors, which I am behind, mm-hmm. I would love to see. I'm all for it. Yeah,
yeah.
Whatever it is, so that our kids don't have to worry. It's stressful enough about just your friends trying to fit in, trying to get an education. But when you, as a student and parents, that it's become the norm to have drills, to be, you know, to worry about these all the time, and a school shooting, another parent worrying about a kid, and we saw it unfold on TV with the reporter getting to hug their child. Never been through it, but can't imagine. I know just the few times that, and it's sad to say, you know, my grandson's 8, but the few times he's already been on lockdown,
right?
You know, that they experienced something I never experienced in all my years of going to school. Never, never. And these kids, all 8 years old, they've already experienced several times. But knowing when they were locked down, just that feel of when they get home and you see them, that relief is just immeasurable.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't imagine what the reporter went through and what families go through every time one of these happens, which unfortunately seems to be every week.
We had, we went down in lockdown for not just a test, but we went into lockdown once when I was in elementary school. The state patrol had pulled somebody over off of Highway 34 and the suspects fled on foot. And they ran to the elementary school where we were at. And I happened to be in a classroom that faced the school grounds, the playground. And while we were on lockdown there, you could still see out. They hadn't shut the window, the blinds yet. And it was at that moment I look out there and I see here comes a man that I did not recognize, which was the suspect, running. And my principal, of all people, Principal Edwards, who was there for quite some time that I've got the utmost respect for, outrunning a police officer and tackling the dude out there on the playgrounds. But even that, I was so young, I don't know if I realized the severity of what that could have been. But these police, these school district members, these principals, these teachers, undergoing an insane amount of pressure, not just from the students and now how parents are acting when it comes to a lot of these things. You know, we've got a lot of those issues going on that we're not even talking about here. The pressure to be a teacher or an administrator right now is insane. But I'll always be grateful for Principal Edwards, because I don't know what would have happened had he not got to that guy before he found an entrance into the building. But Platte Valley was always really good, whereas it was one button that, you know, somebody had to push to unlock the doors. Even way back then, they were able to do that. And for Principal Edwards to go and tackle this guy, I don't know what that day would have turned into, but we had a principal take it into his own hands. So good people, there are still a ton of good people who can mitigate these things. And having more good people around schools is always a good thing to do.
Oh, no question. Angel, in your time in school, did you have any lockdown situations? Did that ever happen to you in your education?
Maybe a couple times throughout, like, middle school and high school, but nothing ever, like, serious, like an actual threat or anything. But we would go through drills, you know, like just like a standard tornado drill, like a fire drill. You would just practice that and know what to do in those situations.
What are you told to do in those situations, in those drills? What do they tell you to do?
I remember one in eighth grade, it was just a drill, but we had like a little shelf in our classroom that was like away from the sight line of the door.
Uh-huh.
So we all got under that shelf and then we pushed desks up against it.
Okay.
And then obviously the door was locked and there was a screen cover over the window. And then you would just have to wait for all clears and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious. Did you do those too, Tanner?
Oh yeah, we were told to just remain very quiet when this drill went on. Right. We had pushed everything up against the door. We were in the corner, very quiet. Then when the drill was done, we got up, and my teacher at the time, I cannot remember her name. It was in high school. She was an English teacher. She got up and she carried a bat in her classroom, just in case. I didn't know she had it. She did not strike me as a person that would have a bat in the classroom. And she got up and she pointed at all of us young men, you know, all of the seniors in that class, and said, "Fellas, if this does happen and for some reason they're able to penetrate into the classroom, it ends here. You know, it's up to us to do this." And that I respected the hell out of. Right? Like, let's go, let's do it. You know, I always like to believe that I would be willing to make that sacrifice if it did save lives. And for a teacher to say, you know what, we got this, you know, that sort of confidence coming from a leader was always very appreciative. I was appreciative of, anyhow.
No, and we're not trying to scare everybody this morning. We're talking about, you know, something that actually happened yesterday, another shooting in Colorado in our schools, and it warrants discussion. So we're diving into that a bit here this morning to start the day. I know as you're getting the kids ready and you're getting ready for school, it's like, wow, heavy, you know, right away, and, you know, making my kids think about this and all that. But we all need to, and this was another example of how we do. And it's become, unfortunately, part of our everyday lives.
It is.
And that is not something that should ever happen in a society. And we've seen it slowly slip into that over the last 20 years. That it used to be shocking, and now it's where was it today?
Right.
And that's a, and there's still, that doesn't lessen the impact
no.
of them, but it has become so common that I think it does lose some of that, you know, immediately, oh, I'm going to sit and try to figure out what we do about this. It's like we've kind of quit. You know, we've just like, we've accepted that it's part of our world now.
This is why these conversations need to happen, though, because the most evil around us are oftentimes the biggest cowards, and they will target the people that are defenseless at times, our youth, our kids, right? And these are, we're forcing, because of these the evil that is out there, we're forcing our kids to grow up a lot quicker.
Because
they're able to be reached by the evil a whole hell of a lot quicker than maybe it used to be. And so, yeah, this is a tough conversation. This is a necessary conversation that you need to be having with kids. You need to be having with, you know, talking through this, asking your school district, what is your plan? What is the plan if this happens? These are all fair questions, and take the time to go do it. Have a former teacher texting in, Belinda Kistler texting in, saying thank you, Tanner, for the kind words about Principal Edwards. He was incredible. I mean, it was that day I'll never forget. You know, that was just one of those moments when that went on. So very sad news. We're wishing the best for the one remaining administrator from Denver East High School who remains in serious condition.
And to all the kids who went through this, and now this is part of their memory, and it's, you know, it's etched in them.
It is.
You know, unfortunately, another school having to go through this, another group of parents, and another in Colorado.
Yeah, 6:22 the time. It's Good Morning NoCo on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Welcome back in, 6:27 on your Thursday morning. Change in the weather rolled in yesterday afternoon. All of a sudden, the snowflakes started to fly, and then they started flying sideways, and then they got bigger, and then little freeze balls started to drop from the sky, and then more snow, and it was weird. It was a weird weather day, and it's going to be kind of a weird weather trip over the next few days. This weekend going to be very unsettled.
Yes, it is.
And Cody Wilson will come in tomorrow and give us our full weekend forecast, but for now, you can expect later on tonight into tomorrow some more moisture starting to fall, which could happen, and things really could take a change for the weekend. So, but should be decent later on this afternoon. What could come in would probably be on the overnight, and we're hoping so. You get to get out and call some Preps Baseball.
Time for baseball, Northern Colorado
back
University
on.
And Northridge. 3:30. Yeah, it is. The 3:30 Steamway Florida Ceiling pregame show gets underway. The J9 Agency's first pitch at 4:00. I'll be out there. Mike Danson going to join me on the call today as well, and really excited about these two teams that are going at it. You know, Northridge is a team that they were rolling, they were improving, and their head coach left, so they got a new head coach. So we'll be diving into that as well, and of course Casey Miller, what he's done at University. The Bulldogs have kind of been, you know, they've been any of the NBA teams that were really good while Michael Jordan was playing. They have been just so good that if they were in any other time frame, they would have been the team that could have won 3 or 4 straight state championships. But Eaton has just been so damn good lately. So is this year the University can pull that off and can stick with Eaton this year? We'll find out. But it starts with a big game against Northridge tonight, or this afternoon, 3:30 pregame, 4:00 first pitch. I'm really excited to get back out there and broadcast some baseball.
Looking forward to hearing you on the call this year. That's going to be fun. We need to get your Happy Life Gardens poll question today, and this will flow right in with traffic. We want to know what the worst intersection in Northern Colorado is. I know they're doing a lot of improvements. They're trying to get things flowing with these roundabouts and so forth, which really do work if you learn how to use them.
Yeah.
They're actually a great idea. But there are some intersections that are just awful. That there's ones that stand out that you're just, oh, crap, I'm stuck at this one. And for me, 35th Avenue and Highway 34 stands out, because that's one I've got to use a lot. That one's a mess, but I don't know that there's anything worse than I-25 and Highway 34 right around the Shields area and that whole thing.
That's
there.
Tough.
That's about the worst one I can think of, but we want to hear from you. What in Northern Colorado is a bad one? Did you have one that stood out in your mind?
Yeah. Listen, I know that I'm going to be sitting at stoplights and stuff like that. That's not a problem for me. You know, I'd get annoyed by it, but I'd rather that than, you know, try and shoot across there and things like that without a stoplight. For me, it's actually the one that I have to take every single morning on my way in. It's County Road 55 and Highway 392. It is that road right there, because you have 392 comes up on hills on both directions. If you're headed eastbound, there's a hill that you come up and then you go back down, and then there's another hill that you go back up, and there's no stoplight there. If you're coming westbound on 392, you go up a hill, you come back down, and you've got like a quarter of a mile maybe to be looking for anybody pulling out from County Road 55. It's blocked by a house with a bunch of trees right there. It's tough to see both ways. And so for trucks and things like that as they're coming through, that's a tough area for people to turn. It's used a lot. And I would imagine that'll probably be the next intersection that has a stoplight put into it. But that is just it's one of those that I've told my fiance, you know, now that she's living with me out there, I'm like, you got to be look both ways multiple times. And when we have that fog, man, shut off the music, roll the windows down, and listen. If you can't see, you got to listen, because it's a dangerous, and I've seen a number of crashes there on that intersection. So for me, it's County Road 55 and Highway 392. I know Angel was kind of agreeing with you with Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. Is that the worst one you've in your opinion, Angel?
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of like just traffic lanes there. There's two lanes to turn left, one to get on the highway and one to get on a little side
road. That's where it's confusing.
And that little side road is awful because people will sit there trying to turn left, and you can't turn left there.
No, not
because you're waiting for cars
car
coming off the highway, and then you're waiting for cars going on the highway, or you'll see people try to cut across to get to the right turn lane. I hate that intersection.
Yeah, that one is very rough. One that just confuses me and I hate going on is Highway 85 and 34. There's that cluster there where everything is, you know, okay, you go into 85 north here, 34 here, and it's really confusing and trying to get through your lanes. I know where I'm going, but I know that a lot of people around me don't, and that one freaks me out.
Yeah, that is one.
Like that.
Here in town, the one that drives me absolutely crazy is West 10th and 83rd Avenue out there on the west side of town. There's just, because the speed limit's 55 out there, and people don't realize it, so everyone's driving 40, 45 still, thinking they're still in that when it's opened up to 55. And then really that's an area that should have two turn lanes, in my opinion, to turn left there off of West 10th onto 83rd Avenue, in my opinion. But that one is bad as well.
No question. Well, we want to hear from you. Tell us, what is the worst intersection in Northern Colorado? Hit us on the J9 Agency's text line, 888-530-0043. We'll get it up on all of our social media posts as well. One thing you do when you're stuck in traffic is look around at the vehicles around you. You ever look over and go, oh, that dude loves his truck, or there's a truck girl right there. Chances are they were probably at CRP getting that thing decked out. What, did I just hit a vein?
Yes, because for the first time, I've owned my pickup for 3 years now. I've never seen anything. Never seen another one with that magma red that I've got on it. So my pickup looks brown in certain light. It looks black in certain light. It looks red in certain light. And I love the color on it. And it's really unique. I haven't seen another one like it. I turned back into the station yesterday, and what do you know? There's another one sitting there. I'm like, yeah. He doesn't have a tonneau cover, though. It's just like one of those, you know. I just saw it for the first time, but I'm like, mine still looks better.
Well, it does, and because you stopped at CRP, make yours look better. Stop by CRP 4x4 or visit them online at crp4x4.com. Back with more Good Morning NoCo next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, shoot you in the-
Here's how the show lines up for you today. 7:35, we'll have Havala with Bruno Lilly Legal for Ask a Lawyer. Going to join us. Excited to talk with Havala. She wrapped up her trial, so talk about, you know, kind of how that went in terms of being a defense lawyer. You know, because apparently what you see on Suits isn't a real thing, even though I think I'm ready to be a lawyer having watched it. So we'll talk with Havala about that. 7:35 at 8:35. Miles Bloomhart joins us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And excited to talk with Miles. Always love getting a chance to catch up with him. At 9:05, Matt Johnson, former guard for the UNC Bears, joins us. We're going to talk about some of the March Madness craziness that happened and what goes on there. I want to get his thoughts on the NBA as well. And, you know, just some of the things that have transpired in the association this year. With, you know, talking about Kendrick Perkins, talking about Nikola Jokic. I just want to dive into some of his thought process on it, because I thought that what Kendrick Perkins had gone through and said that, you know, that he was, Nikola Jokic was getting this love because he was white. I want to get Matt's opinion on that. So we'll talk with him a little bit about that at 9:05. At 9:35, Brady Hull, host of the Hull Show, joins us as well to talk about the Nuggets with a big win last night. Scary times in the first half, but they locked down in the third quarter, and Michael Malone's answer to why they finally looked like they were supposed to: we finally cared. Good job, Mike. Way to get your team caring about basketball again. So we'll talk about that. The Avs got beat badly last night by the Pittsburgh Penguins as well, 5-2. So lots to get into today. And of course, it's just going to be a fun, very packed show. I love Thursdays and Fridays here on KFK. It is just so many great guests coming through this studio. So really looking forward to that. We'll have celebrity birthdays, and what day is it when we come back on the other side? We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFK. Let's get to the bottom of the hour news and weather center.
About a car. 6:44.
You didn't just say you had to sell your body to the night. Listen, I'll listen to that argument with Panama.
You call a car a body.
Oh, yeah, shut up,
you
Angel.
You gotta take my car to the body
shut
shop.
Exactly. Up, Angel. Both of you guys. Good Lord. That one you can't argue, all right?
I think we can.
Every song just about a car that we didn't realize it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just take my Camaro down the red light district, huh? Yeah.
Which they're going to quit making after 2024.
I know. I heard that story on America's.
I got to get my Camaro. I always wanted a Camaro, man. It's not that I want a new Camaro. I want an older Camaro.
I think they're still going to make Camaros. It's kind of murky right now whether they're going to or not, but this current edition of how they're making them is coming to an end.
Oh, are they going to reinvent it like they did the Bronco, which looks nothing like the Bronco?
Very well could be. Okay. Very well could be. But yeah, no, I heard that this morning on AFN, America's First News, and I'm like, Brian's got to be sad.
Camaro, no, it's the dream car. Hey, all right, we've dove into a lot of things this morning. We've been flirting around with the front page stuff and all over, but it's time for...
I saw that coming.
Hold it. I almost said back page.
I know. I read your lips when we're getting ready, because when I don't know, I'm reading, and I saw the starting to come out.
Wow, we don't do that.
No.
We covered the front page. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we haven't covered the front yet.
Okay, we don't know anything, so we really need to find out.
What day is it?
What day is it today?
That's a collective screw
Guess
up right
what
there.
What day it is?
Well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, I wish
Tuesday,
I was on my clip with you, too.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What day is it today?
Guess what day it is?
Tanner, if Brian leads into the wrong segment, would you go into the wrong segment with him? Absolutely.
Yes. And I would hope you would. All right? That is the way we should all go, is together. All right. Now, today is National Puppy Day.
Nice.
I love puppies. I mean, I love dogs, but man, seriously, a little puppy is the most adorable thing in the damn world. It really is. Babies are great, but a little puppy? Puppies and babies together, it's a fantastic thing. But it's National Puppy Day, so I'm going to treat mine like puppies. You know, I can't wait to get home and see mine every day. They're my best friends. It's National Chip and Dip Day. Where would we be without chip and dip? Probably skinnier. Better cholesterol and skinnier, yes. Yeah. But to me, there are very few better snacks than sitting down with some chips and salsa.
Is salsa a dip, though? Does that fall under? Because, yeah.
It could be a condiment. It can be anything. Salsa is salsa.
Yeah.
I had chips and salsa last night with my
tacos.
It's the only dip I'll do aside from a cheese one.
Mm.
You know,
I love French onion dip.
I
love it.
Do you really?
Yes. Yeah.
You're one of those who could sit down with a bag of potato chips and French onion dip?
The buffalo chicken dip, too. Yeah, great day.
Absolutely. Enjoy your dips with your chips. It's National Near Miss Day today. No, it's celebrated, you know, when like a meteor has, you know, the near miss of the Earth or whatever. But it's a day to look at a lot of things that almost happened. All right.
That would have been catastrophic.
Misses, yes. Like, I thought she was going to say yes. Near miss. All right.
Missed it by that much.
That much, yeah. Would you like to go to the dance? Hell no, you ugly jerk. Oh, missed it by that much. It's National Tamale Day today, and tell me that doesn't sound delicious.
I'm going to say something a little controversial here, but I don't like tamales. Tamale guy.
I understand. It's confusing to me. There are some people who don't like them. Where do you stand on the tamale front, Angel?
Love them.
I think they're fantastic.
They were my COVID savior.
Were they really?
Yeah. When I had COVID, like, I would just eat tamales all day.
Oh, when you get the good one, you got to peel it out of the husk.
See, the first time I had one, I didn't realize that you had to peel the husk off of.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I'm kind of scared.
Yeah, this texture is a little weird.
Yeah. I'm like, this is really crunchy. Like, yeah.
This guy's ate four already. I'm still working on one.
Yeah. And I lost three teeth.
How many bags of sunflower seeds did you eat before you realized there were shells on them?
I plead the fifth.
All righty. It's National Chia Day today. I've got a chia pet at home. I wanted one of them Bob Ross ones.
Is it just your head?
No.
It took 45 years to grow the hair out on that little dude.
That would be a good cool gift, Angel. Though. That would be. Your own head is a chia?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love that idea. I do. Now, have you ever...
No, I never know.
Did you ever go through like a phase where you were consuming chia? Because it's like an Aztec superfood.
No.
The chia, you know what
I'm
talking about.
Yeah, I've never eaten them. But
I was too confused to eat a tamale. You think I'm going to venture to get some chia in my life?
Oh, you mix it up with water, and it creates this kind of slime fluid that you drink. But I was doing that. I know, it was horrible, but it really, really does help your body. I went through a phase where I was using it a lot, and then you'd go to dump it out, you know, because you dump it out, you rinse your glass after you drink it. Those little chia seeds lived in your garbage disposal, and they grew out. I had one that got trapped in, like, the handy wipe that was on. The next morning, there's a sprout growing out of it. Really trippy. It's also National Melba Toast Day today.
Cool.
That's all you got for that?
Yeah.
Show some more respect for the Melba toast. When we get off air, I'll tell you a funny story about Melba toast.
Okay, that'll be great.
It will be. All right, celebrity birthday time. You guys are probably going to get, maybe 3.5, 4. Cool. I'm going to go 4.
No, I was telling you we have 4 minutes in the segment, not to what the line should be.
Well, you held up 4.
All right.
That's what you're getting.
All right, let's go, Angel.
All right. First off, turning 70 years old today, Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Yes. Chaka Khan, let me rock you. Let me rock you, Chaka Khan. I feel for you. I think I love you.
Yeah,
Angel says yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Oh, you get it. She's a singer. All right. I just got Here's Your Hat, Get Out from him. Let's see. Actress Catherine Keener is 64 years old today.
What was she in?
It's really none of your business.
Okay.
If you don't know, you don't know, do you?
No, I don't.
All right. Nothing from you, Angel?
No.
Actor Randall Park is 49 years old today.
From what?
He played Kim Jong-un in The Interview
with
Franco and Rogan.
Yeah.
He's
been in
right.
some Marvel stuff, too, but that's what I know him from.
Also, right now, currently in the series Blockbuster on Netflix, which is about the last Blockbuster store. I actually saw him in that. He is. He's a very funny dude. Also, celebrity birthday today, Michelle Monaghan. Is 47 years old today. You would recognize her face immediately, I believe. But you don't know who she is.
Nah. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't she look incredibly familiar?
Yeah, I just don't. I haven't seen anything that she's been in.
All right, so far you got one, right?
We got two.
Really? Oh, that's right. You knew the other. Okay. Kerry Russell.
Kurt Russell's daughter.
47 years old today.
I know the name.
She's in Cocaine Bear. Oh. She's been in tons and tons of movies, and actually at one point lived in Highlands Park in Colorado.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she had Colorado connections. I think she was in the series Felicity, the big series she was in, I believe.
In the Star Wars
movies. The ninth Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to use the one where we get to look it up and didn't tell you that we know her, so we're going to use that so we have three.
No, whatever makes you sleep at night. This is the kind of guy that cheats at golf.
I haven't got one. It's Angel.
Amanda Plummer is 66 years old today. You don't know her.
Okay.
Actor Richard Grieco. He was in 21 Jump Street. He was a heartthrob when I was young. He's my age.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Who else do we have here? Maren Hinkle. She's from the marvelous Mrs. Maisel and 2 and a Half Men. 57 years old today. Actor Kelly Perrine. No, you're not going to know that. Who else do we have? Bandleader Reggie Watts.
Nope.
Late show with James Corden. Let's see, who else? Gossip blogger Perez Hilton.
Yes.
45 years old today. You know Perez?
I do.
Okay. Singer Paul Martin. Now he's with Marshall Dillon. Nobody's heard of them. Nicole Tom, who is in the show The Nanny.
No.
45 years old today. Brett Young.
Oh, okay, the country music artist?
That's the guy.
Okay, I was like, I was thinking Brett Eldridge and then Chris Young, so then I was like, yeah, no, I remember Brett Young.
Brett, you should, because he's current.
Yeah.
He's 42 years old today, so happy birthday to Brett. And that's it, man.
We got five. I got one. I came in at the end and got the one that counted, man. It was an off-shooting day, and then Angel passed me the rock at the end and knocked it down.
Well, that's okay. So you had five. I had you at three, and Angel cheated on one, so you got a four. All right, so you pushed. All right.
Well, we could use it if you look it up and get the one.
I thought you gave us that. That's going to be something
constant.
You can
have it. I don't care. You got them all right. Whatever.
If it wasn't for Brett Young, I would have got skunked today. I didn't know a single one of those people. I would have been an Ofer for today.
It's very rare.
Thanks, Angel.
I mean,
that was tough.
Helped you. It was a tough batch today. There wasn't a lot.
That was not a good one.
No.
I feel like whenever I quiz you, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know all these people, but it's probably because they're right in front of me.
No, and if it is your birthday today, realize that you're like the fifth most famous person born today.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
And happy birthday to you. 6:54, let's get the latest in the cattle market. Lots of great responses coming in on our Happy Life Gardens poll question here. Let's run through a couple of them. Josh says, Highway 85 and 392. That's tough when that train comes through. I love that all of these coming in. I'm like, yeah, I take that every morning.
No, but, I mean, we know these intersections that are being mentioned. And we're asking, what is the worst intersection in northern Colorado?
Darren says, Wald County Road 74 and 33. It absolutely is. You get people flying up to that stop sign there. Kayla says, Highway 14 and Wald County Road 31. There's always accidents there. Yep, that's absolutely 34th and 47th Avenue, which is, in my opinion, just slightly better than 35th Avenue, but still right up there.
Equally a pain.
We'll get to the rest of them on the other side. We'll have news for Northern Colorado coming up as well. It's Good Morning NoCo, presented by Air Solutions on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.